I'm strung. I'm a little high strung this morning. So I'm having this cardio test, which I guess is in the last year or two. They take pictures of your heart, your valves, your artery, to see arteries. If you have any blockage. It's a great way to know how you are, if you have a little high blood pressure or any blockage. It's a great way to predict heart attacks way in advance and cut them off at the pass. Brand new technology. Anyway, my doctor recommended it. It's a test that's incredibly effective for showing if you have blocked arteries. But I don't get my coffee this morning.
Trust me, this you know is the first time I've been around you in a while without coffee.
I'm a little jittery. And there's all these things going on in town, right?
Man,
you got NCAA. You got Braves opening day.
MVP
you got,
camp.
You got the Savannah Bananas. You got your camp. And then we get to talk to the head coach of an NBA basketball team.
Yes,
is that
sir.
Right? Is he ready to rock and roll? He's Quinn Snyder on the middle of a road trip. He's not even in Atlanta this week, and he joins us on Sports Radio 92.9. Coach, good morning. How you doing, sir?
Good morning, guys. Doing okay, thanks.
It's a weird time of year for a NBA fan. You know, the playoffs last for months. We've been watching you guys for, I don't know, 4 months now. I mean, I know you're playing for seeding and everything else, and I'm not saying you like losing in Miami last night, but I call it the dog days of the NBA. I mean, how do you get these guys keep the motor running? I know you can do it for the playoffs, but does it start to feel a little long for everybody by this time of the year?
You know, I think there's two times where you get some of this, and you just kind of the other one's like late January, and you're kind of waiting for All-Star break or anticipating that. And then right now, I think some of it's just, as you mentioned, you know, there's so much enthusiasm about the playoffs. But I think the thing for us is obviously, you know, we're in a position where we're probably not going to be one of the, you know, the sixth seed. And then you're looking at the rest of the play-in tournament, so to speak. And what can we do to give ourselves the best opportunity, you know, to come out of there as a 7 or 8 seed? And really the thing that we've tried to stay focused on is just improving. And I think we've got a team because of, you know, we've almost had 3 or 4 different iterations of the same Hawks. You know, we don't have Jalen, Hunt, CC, but a lot of these guys that we started the year with. And the reason I mention that is because some of the new guys that we have and some of the young players that we have that I think have gotten better, the challenge is to continue to try to come together and raise our level. And I think that's, in addition to the actual seating itself and home court and those things, I think that needs to be our focus. Because as you said, such a different variance in competitiveness. Miami went through a huge, really tough stretch, and you know, they're playing well. You know, we're going to play a Knicks team coming up that's playing well. And then we've got some other games that are actually tough games, but they're very different games.
Yeah. Quinn Snyder, head coach of the Hawks, joining us on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Coach, I always talk about the NBA's the top athletes in the world. I do football for a living. I cover it. And I see it from, you know, youth up. But when you go see an NBA game and you see how athletic these guys are and how big, they're truly 1st percentile athletes. Saying that, Dyson Daniels every single night has to guard the best player on the other team, always a super freaky athlete. Tell me why, and I'll tell you my agree with it, why he should win the Defensive Player of the Year, because every single night he has the toughest draw.
You know, I think it's a no-brainer, to be honest with you. And you hear a lot of the different arguments, and I can give you a few more, but I'll comment on what you said, which I think is something that's really interesting and something that I haven't maybe given as much weight to. You know, rim protectors are help defenders for the most part. And, you know, you don't see those guys having to guard one-on-one on the post. There just isn't that much post-up basketball anymore. In Dyson's case, to your point, he's got the best player on the floor every night. And, you know, it was hero last night. And one of the things that when you watch us, it's interesting because teams spend a lot of time on offense literally trying to get him off that guy.
Right.
Yeah. You know, like, yeah. they're basically saying,
run screen, yeah, run screens, run interference, run whatever you can to get him away from the ball.
Get him away from the ball.
Yeah.
Play pick and roll and have him switch onto someone else. So they're actually trying to avoid him.
Mm.
And so now he is off the ball. And he's managed to still be effective in all those situations. But, you know, the fact that the steals things are just ridiculous, guys, right? I mean, what he's doing, stealing the basketball.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, just explain that for a second. I try to say, dude, the Dyson Daniels steal numbers are just ludicrous. Forget about deflections, which is a whole nother ridiculous stat.
Yeah, it's, you know, there's almost too many high watermarks to go through them all.
Right.
I can't remember them, you know, most in 30 years, most by any, like, it's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've never seen a disruptor on another side of the court where you game plan like you just said. I was like, dude, every time I go watch him live, it's like he's in the middle of every single possession. He's wreaking,
yeah.
I say wreaking havoc for the other team.
No, he finds ways when they're avoiding him to include himself. Here's one thing that I don't think people are as aware of is there's a stat they call stocks. And what it is, it's real simple. It's steals and blocks. So not only does he lead the league in steals, he leads the league in steals and blocks combined. So whoever the block leader is, they're not stealing the ball. Our guy is stealing the ball, and he's blocking shots. The last time someone did that as a guard, it was Michael Jordan. Just to put it in a little bit of perspective.
God.
Yeah, back in the you know, back in the 80s.
Yeah,
you know?
Quinn Snyder with us. As we talk awards, do you think Zach Risacher should be Rookie of the Year?
You know what? If people voted in December, you know, the answer would have been no. The answer would have been he's having a really good season. What he's done, I think, is unbelievably significant because he's still 19. Like, he hasn't turned 20 yet. And the way that he's tracked, the way that he's finishing, the biggest thing with Zach that's different than the other rookies is he's playing on a team that's competing, you know, and it's going to be a postseason team. That's unique because he's not playing as many minutes at times. It's not about just his development. It's about his development within the context of the team and how can he help the team win. And what we're seeing is his numbers and his efficiency continue to track up, and he's responsible for winning. Now, in some, you know, he's also responsible at times when he doesn't play well and we don't win, which is a whole other layer.
Well,
A
few of our hosts were fired up the other day, because they want to see him in there. I think it was the Houston game. You put him; he wasn't playing in crunch time, or you know, you don't play him all the time in that scenario. You know, the fans are like, "Dude, that's our guy. That's our rookie. Why is he not out there all the time?"
Well, you know, I'm playing the guys that I think can help us win the game at the end of the game.
Yeah,
and this is one of the great. This is the interesting thing about our team because, you know, what do we want to do? Do we want to develop our young guys and not worry about winning? Or do we want to win and not worry about developing our young guys?
I want to do both at the same time. I want to win with our young guys.
Oh, by the way, he's 19.
Yeah. No, I know.
By the way, he's still 19.
So finding how that intersection occurs. And the good thing about Zach, you know, is that's been happening. And, you know, when you have someone that's shooting the shit out of the ball, pardon my language, and he is too, you know, it's easy.
Yeah.
But there are nights when he looks 19 and he's working through that, and I think he has finished the last couple games, you know, in a row. And the development component for us is happening, guys. We start three guys that are in the 19 or their early 20s. That's just not happening out there. And I think the big thing for Zach is playing minutes, and he's up 25, 30 minutes a game.
I think it'll be awesome. Let's get out of the 7-8, get to a playoff series. Oh, a 7-8, we're going to be in the series in that scenario. And let him feel like a Cleveland or Boston matchup on the road and 18,000 people in playoff basketball, because that's totally different. So let those young guys at least feel it tangible how different playoff basketball is. Not just one. not just one game or two games.
And that is the intersection that we talked about. And I think Zach has to feel some of the physicality, and he always responds to that. You know, he always responds to that, and that's been, you know, an impressive thing because, you know, he's going to gain weight. He's going to get stronger. But no amount of protein shakes right now can get him to, you know, 225.
I don't know if you've heard.
That's going to happen later.
Yeah.